This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a very pleasant good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And yesterday afternoon at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, the Marlins played the final game of a three-game series against the Yankees in the final regular season game of 2020. The good news, they weren't done. They're still not done. The playoffs at Wrigley Field in Chicago start on Wednesday. With a recap, as always, in the rubber match on Sunday afternoon, here is Glenn Geffner.
Well, the 60-game sprint is in the books, and now the Marlins keep on running into the postseason after a 5-0 victory over the Yankees at Yankee Stadium on this Sunday afternoon, the final day of the regular season. So the Marlins go into the Bronx, and they win 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. That's a nice series win to hang your hat on ending the regular season. Today, in many respects, a good day all around for the Marlins. They played a very clean game on the final day of this season. Some people getting a day off today. No Miguel Rojas in the lineup. No Garrett Cooper in the lineup today. Jorge Alfaro didn't start today's ball game. The Marlins were protecting their bullpen in this game as well. But the one negative on the injury front, and it's a major negative, the Marlins have lost Jose Ureña, presumably, for the remainder of this season. Ureña, who started this ball game and wasn't supposed to go particularly long, was cruising along with the lead in the third inning when he was hit by a 103.9-mile-per-hour shot off the bat of DJ LeMahieu. And Ureña has undergone x-rays, which have revealed a non-displaced ulna fracture in his right forearm. So bad news on the Jose Ureña front. Starling Marte also left this game. Marte was hit by a pitch in the second inning. Clark Schmidt, the Yankee starter, hit him in the brim of the helmet. And what happened is while the ball just grazed the helmet, it knocked the helmet from his head. The helmet caught his ear, and he sustained a left ear contusion. So we're going to presume that Marte is going to be okay, but that was a scary moment in this ball game as well. Outside of those two injuries, it was a very good day on the mound, at the plate, and in the field defensively for the Marlins today as they beat the Yankees 5-0. Ureña started against Clark Schmidt, and we were scoreless into the second, but in that second inning, with one out, Matt Joyce drew a walk. He went to second base on a John Birdie single. A wild pitch from Schmidt moved the runners to second and third with one out. And the rookie, Jazz Chisholm, getting the start at shortstop today, came up big for Miami.
Ball one, no strikes to Jazz Chisholm, a left-hand batter. And he swings on the next pitch and lines the ball hard, high, and off the top of the right center field wall. Coming on to score is Joyce. Birdie follows him home. And that's a two-run double for Jazz Chisholm off the wall in deep right center at Yankee Stadium. Marlins are up 2-0.
And they weren't done. Chad Wallach followed with an infield hit, putting men at the corners. And after Magnese Sierra struck out, Corey Dickerson extended the Miami lead.
3 balls, 2 strikes. Full count here with 2 down, 2 on. The Marlins up 2-0. And Schmidt delivers. And it's hit on the ground, and that goes up the middle. That cashes in a run. Home to score is Jazz Chisholm. And Wallach advances to second base, and there's an RBI single for Corey Dickerson. We talked about Corey grinding out a tough at-bat. Took that ball right up the middle and earns his 17th RBI of the season. 3-0 Marlins.
The Marlins sent 9 batters to the plate in that second inning. They scored 3 runs on 4 hits, a walk, and hit batsman. And when the second inning was complete, it was a 3-0 Marlins lead. In the third inning, we mentioned Jose Ureña getting hit by the shot off the bat of LeMahieu and having to leave the game. So Dan Castano came on to pitch with Miami up 3-0, 1 on, 1 out in the third inning. He walked the first man, Aaron Judge, came back to get Aaron Hicks on a fly ball to right field, and then Luke Voit to bounce to second. And that for Castano was a start of what was a terrific afternoon for him. He cruised along in this ballgame. Castano wound up going 6 1/3 innings, his longest major league start. First time he pitched out of the bullpen after 6 starts. His longest big league outing today, 6 1/3 innings, a 4-hit shutout ball. He walked 2, struck out 2, threw 96 pitches, 60 strikes, 36 balls. And the Marlins padded the lead with Castano on the mound in the fifth inning after Schmidt had left. He worked the first four, four hits, three runs, two walks, four Ks, and hit batsman. Jonathan Holder came out of the bullpen. Holder working the fifth, got the first two outs, but he could not get Brian Anderson.
Batting race with a .339 average. Here's a pitch, and this is hit well. It's a high drive to deep left center, and it's going to be up, up, and away, and a home run for Brian Anderson. And a 4-0 lead for the Marlins. For Brian, home run number 11, RBI number 38, and the Marlins pick up an add-on run, a big two-out hit here in the fifth. 4-0, Miami.
And they will continue adding on against Nick Nelson in the eighth inning, leading off Jazz Chisholm. A brown loafer on the left shoe, left foot. Fly ball, right center field. Racing back on it, Hicks. He's at the wall. Goodbye, home run, Jazz Chisholm. And the Marlins extend the lead to 5-0. Jazz has gone deep for the second time as a big leaguer. He's got a two-hit, three RBI game. Yeah, good day for Jazz today. He doubled, knocked in two, and scored a run in the second. Hit the solo home run leading off the eighth inning. So a good way to finish the regular season for Jazz Chisholm. And it was 5-0 into the bottom of the eighth. Castano, a 1-2-3 inning there. He started the ninth, looking to finish it off. He got Gio Urshela to ground to third. He got Gleyber Torres and a fly ball to the wall in left field. Nice running catch by Magnaris Sierra. But when Brett Gardner singled to cap a 3-for-4 afternoon, Donnie decided it was time to go deeper into the bullpen. Castano done after 96 pitches. James Hoyt brought on to try to slam the door in the ninth with a 5-0 lead. One on, two outs. Hoyt facing the Yankees catcher, Gary Sanchez.
He delivers the next one, and it is popped up. This should do it. The right fielder, Matt Joyce, is called off by the center fielder, Lewis Brinson, and it's Lewis Brinson who makes the catch, and the Marlins have combined on a six-hit shutout to beat the New York Yankees 5-0 in the final game of this season, this 60-game sprint. And the win enables the Marlins to finish up over 500 at 31-29 as they head to the playoffs. And for Dan Castano, his first major league win in relief. And a superb relief job it was. And Hoyt came on and got the final out.
So the Marlins win it 5-0. For Miami, 5 runs, 9 hits, no errors, 8 left. For the Yankees, no runs, 6 hits, no errors. They left 8 on base. Dan Castano, the winner for the first time in the big leagues. He's 1-2. Clark Schmidt, the loser for the first time in the big leagues. He's 0-1. Time of the ballgame, 3 hours, 5 minutes. With the victory, the Marlins end the year 31-29. They finish the season above 500 for the first time since 2009. They had the longest run of consecutive losing seasons in Major League Baseball, but that streak is over. Marlins go 31-29 this year, including a 20-14 record on the road. They have played so well away from home this season. They've got the third-best road record in all of Major League Baseball. Now they're headed on the road to Chicago for the National League Wild Card Series against the Cubs. Best 2 out of 3 Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They'll try to continue their success away from Marlins Park here in 2020. So a 31-29 finish for the Marlins. As for the Yankees, they end the year 33-27. Yankees finish up 22-9 at Yankee Stadium. We mentioned the Marlins are going to Chicago to play the Cubs because the Cardinals have beaten the Brewers 5-2 today. That makes that academic. With the Yankees losing, they would be in trouble if the Blue Jays could beat the Orioles, but the Orioles have won that game 7-5. We'll get to all the scores coming up. I want to mention that one in particular. That locks the Yankees in at the 5 spot in the American League. Otherwise, they would have fallen to the number 8 seed, and they would have to play Tampa Bay. Now they're the 5 seed, and we'll watch the other seeds come together over the course of the rest of the day. Don't know definitively yet who the Yankees are going to play as the 4 seed, but they will be the 5 seed. They will go on the road for their wild card series, which in the American League will start on Tuesday.
Marlins blanked the Yankees 5-0. The Marlins finished the season and for the first time in 11 years with a record over 500, 31-29. Yankees finish at 33-27. One of the heroes yesterday, he collected 3 hits, did a terrific job behind the plate. He's done a terrific job behind the plate. Marlins catcher Chad Wallach, who I had an opportunity to catch up with afterwards.
Chad, I want to ask you about your 3-hit day, but I'd like to start by asking you what it feels like knowing the season isn't over and that you guys will crank it up for the National League wild card round on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. You know, it's been a long time since this team's been in the playoffs, and it's exciting that we get to keep playing and ready to make some noise in the playoffs.
Hey, we got some unfortunate news on Jose Ureña. That was tough to see, but Dan Castano comes up. I mean, big today, Chad. You guys needed a lot of length out of the bullpen. He gave it to you. What made him so impressive against this Yankees ball club?
Yeah, no, I mean, first with Jose, you know, it just sucks to see that as one of our guys. You know, our prayers are with him. Hopefully he's okay. I haven't heard any news, but hopefully everything's not too bad. But Dan was incredible today. You know, he made a lot of really good pitches, especially against this lineup in this ballpark. He did an unbelievable job, and he stepped up big for the bullpen.
And, Chad, you're hitting close to 300 over the course of your last seven ball games. In fact, you're probably over 300 after a three-hit game today. What's been the biggest driving force behind your success at the plate?
You know, just trying to pick out good pitches to hit, to be honest, you know, not chasing too many pitches. And, you know, when you do get the pitches, just trying to put good swings on them.
And before we let you go, Chad, behind the plate, when do you start preparing for the Chicago Cubs, who we now know moments ago that'll be your first round opponent in Chicago?
Right away, really, honestly. I know we've got a couple days off here coming up, and we'll start working on them tomorrow, probably. Just get the scouting report locked in.
It's been a whole heck of a lot of fun to watch you, Chad. Congratulations on the victory today. We appreciate the time, and go get them, man. We'll talk to you in a few days.
Sounds good. Thank you guys very much.
Marlins catcher Chad Wallach following the Marlins 5-0 beating of the New York Yankees yesterday afternoon in the Bronx. Let's hear from Don Mattingly before we wrap things up and look ahead.
Yeah, hey, Donnie. First off, Jose, obviously, really tough break there. Can you just speak to him and obviously what happened there?
Yeah, obviously disappointed with that. And I know he's disappointed, but luckily, you know, obviously, I know Jason announced, you know, what happened. Could have been worse. Could have got him in the face. Could have just shattered that wrist. So I guess for him, it could have been worse, but still a tough break for us. Cause a few more decisions and changes probably as we get into the postseason roster.
Joe?
I guess we could complete it with Starling Marte. What's the latest on him? I know he has the bruise, but take us through what went on with Starling.
Yeah, it looks like we dodged that bullet and obviously wasn't able to dodge both of them. Kind of your biggest fear on a day like today, it sounded like the last day of spring going into the season. It's like you hate even playing your guys almost. But, you know, that's what it is. But I think we did dodge a bullet with him. Sounded like it hit the helmet first, and the helmet hit his head. So probably be a little sore, but I think we dodged that bullet.
Let's go back to Jordan.
Yeah, and on the other side, Dan Castano, obviously you've used him in some situations similar where you needed him to – go some long innings, and he gave you what you guys needed and also getting his first win. Can you speak to him coming into the situation and basically stepping up when you guys needed him?
Yeah, I talked to him last night. He knew he was going to pitch a lot today. He was coming in the next inning after the third. But, you know, Daniel's been really good all year long, and he's a guy that's not going to get the attention of Sixto and all the top prospect guys. But this guy has really throwing the ball well pretty much every time out. I thought his first one was a little rough, but after that, he really got stingy. He pitched more and more. He's going to be one of those guys that you have to understand exactly who he is. He's got to be able to change speed, sneak the fastball. And that's exactly what he did all day long with a really good lineup and a dangerous club, but he was able to just keep him off balance all day. You know, he's really showed himself, I think, all year long. That kind of is a little surprise, honestly. You don't know what this guy is for sure. When you see guys like that in the minor leagues and they're doing well, he's always been a performer, though. He's always won and pitched well. And so he's showing it that he can do it here, too. So I'd say he'd probably be a pretty good little surprise over the course of this whole this 60-game season.
Steve Wine.
Don, what's your reaction to the playoff matchup, the locale, and the history between the two teams in the postseason?
Well, obviously, I haven't been part of the history. I remember seeing the history. I like going to Wrigley, great place to play. Chicago, obviously, a great city. And it's funny, this is one of those years you don't know a ton about guys yet. We didn't play anybody in the West. We didn't play anybody in the Central. Haven't really, to be honest with you, paid much attention to anybody but our division and what we're doing in the East. So we'll have to dig in on those guys. I know the players from last year, a lot of them. So we'll dig in and see where we're at and, start talking about them. Didn't want to, move ahead until we actually knew where we were going.
And back to Joe.
Donnie, kind of the beauty of the day, you get to give Miggy the day off, and then Jazz kind of, you get to see what he's capable of. And how much do you think it helps him, homering at Yankee Stadium, making a really good defensive play, getting that big double early, just for him to rise and take advantage of his opportunity today?
Well, I think just getting him back in there a couple of days before we get into the, the playoffs. So he's had some ABs. He's been out on the field. He's been working like a lot of our younger guys that have came up. We need to shorten his route to the ball a little bit. You like a lot of things about Jazz as far as his energy, his fast twitch, what we feel like he's going to be able to do and become. And today he give you a little, you got to look in that window a little bit today that what you have a chance to get from a guy like that. Those two plays he makes are incredible. On hot shots, and then obviously swinging the bat the way he did today gives you a little peek into what, has a chance to become.
Craig Mesh.
Hey, Donnie. With back to Jose for a minute, I know that you haven't had a lot of time to process this, but just in terms of procedurally what some choices are, is it just basically come from the guys who are throwing on the taxi squad that are traveling with you guys at this point, and how may that end up looking if you have any answers on that at this point? Thanks.
Yeah, I think once we get in this bubble, I think those are our choices, right? So, we haven't dug into it. Obviously, didn't think anything like this was going to happen. But we'll probably meet. I would think tomorrow. We'd definitely meet tomorrow as an organization, going through Chicago and then looking at our guys and what we think we need out of the bullpen and how we want to use our guys. So. Have not looked at it yet, but it'll be something that we'll look at tomorrow.
And Steve Wine.
Don, a lot of people would think getting to the playoffs is plenty of accomplishment for this team. What have you seen from your guys in the last 40 hours or so as far as the way they have absorbed this and the degree to which they've reset to get ready for what's to come?
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. I think guys enjoyed the last couple of days, knowing some of them were getting a little breather. Others were continuing to play. I think we'll get a couple. Obviously, we got a couple of days of probably a light workouts moving in towards Wednesday. I think obviously we'll be rested. We'll be ready. And I think we've absorbed it fine. We've had a pretty simple approach. It doesn't really change in the playoffs for me. It's get ready to play, be prepared, play the game, and you got to push it behind you one way or the other because the momentum starts the next game, changes quick in the playoffs. So, I don't think anything really changes for us. I don't think it's going to change for them. I think they're going to expect to play well. We know what kind of pitching we have. I feel like we'll be in games. We're going to have to execute pitches, get pitches to hit, have a good game plans, make plays. It really is simple, but I think our guys will be, loose. I think we'll be fine.
Kelly.
Donnie, first winning record since 2009. How proud are you of this group of guys to be able to make that accomplishment?
Well, it didn't take that to be proud of them. If we had won or lost today, it wasn't going to make any difference. This group has been a solid group, great group, actually. Trustworthy, trustworthy from the standpoint, you know, they'll be ready to play anything that's came their way, they've dealt with. So really proud of these guys. And happy to have a winning record. Honestly, you'd like to win this last game and moving forward with a winning record, but it wouldn't have changed anything today, no matter what happened.
Go ahead, Joe.
Donnie, I want to talk about the venues. You clinch at Yankee Stadium. You're going to go play in the playoffs at Wrigley. I mean, you want these guys to see what they got, and they're going into, you know, these baseball cathedrals. And, you know, what do you think that could mean for young guys to see what, you know, what playoff baseball? I know it's not the traditional sense of 40,000 people in Wrigley being Wrigley, but, you know, it's still Wrigley.
It is. And I think, honestly, like playing here, I mean, guys probably have some understanding of the history, but probably more the recent history, kind of like the Derek history. And they probably know a little bit about Wrigley, but quite honestly, it's really different playing with nobody here. Right. And it's just different than it would be if you walk into this building or walk into Wrigley, with the streets going crazy, people packed around, people packed in the building. You see the rooftops and all that. It's just different. So, I think just being where we're at right now is important for these guys. And I think the younger guys get a little bit of a break, honestly, being able to come to these buildings before they have to walk into them with places packed and kind of a hostile environment. So I think it's good for us, but I think it's definitely different.
Marlins manager Don Mattingly after the ball club's 5-0 win. They finished the 60-game sprint to the finish line 31-29. They are one of 16 teams, one of 8 in the National League, headed to the postseason. Well, we're off, folks. We're off for a couple of days, but the Marlins Radio Network will be with you every step of the way, starting on Wednesday at Wrigley Field, a time yet to be determined for a start in a first pitch time for Game 1 of the National League Wild Card Series between the Marlins and the Cubs. When we know, you'll know. The Marlins are headed to the postseason, and we'll join you in just a couple of days. And thanks for listening, as always, to the Marlins Radio Network.